We'll now convene the Wednesday, May 18, 2005, meeting of the House Special Committee on Budget, Subcommittee on Human Services and Public Safety. We have three work sessions, three budget bills we'll be dealing with today. The first one is House Bill 5118 relating to Judicial Fitness and Disability Commission. Mr. Borden.
Thank you, Chair Richardson. LFO is recommending two changes to the Commission's budget. The first is a standard PERS reduction of $569. The second recommendation is for a standard 3% reduction in services and supplies of $2,341, with the provision that the reduction be taken in the Commission's normal operating budget as opposed to their extraordinary budget, which is used for investigation and disciplinary proceedings. If approved, this would reduce the Commission's judicial branch recommended budget by approximately 1.63%, or $2,910. In addition to those recommendations, LFO is recommending changes to the Commission's performance measures. On performance measure number one, the percent of requests performs fulfilled, the same business day would be changed to within five business days. And these changes to the performance measures are essentially as a result of a reduction in staffing the Commission took last biennium, and so it brings the measures more in alignment with their current resources. On performance measure two, percent of calls responded to the same day would be changed to percent of calls responded to within five business days. On performance measure number three, number of presentations per year to judicial meetings or conferences would be changed to number of presentations per year to judicial meetings, conferences, and other interested groups, including the state's public and private law schools regarding judicial ethics. Performance measure number four would be changed to percent of prosecutions completed within 2 years of receipt through oral argument in the Supreme Court. The change would be percent of prosecutions completed within 2 years of first review through the formal recommendation submitted to the Supreme Court. What this change does is allows the performance measure to be entirely within the control of the Commission as opposed to being dependent upon the outcome of the Supreme Court's hearing of the action. Performance measure number six and seven are the new performance measures that are being applied to all agencies that deal with customer service. Number six is percent of customers rating their overall satisfaction with the agency above average or excellent. And number seven, percent of customers rating satisfaction with the agency services above average or excellent for timeliness, accuracy, helpfulness, expertise, information availability. And Chair Richardson, those are LFO's recommendations.
Okay, any questions on the recommendations or any aspect of what we've reviewed thus far?
No.
Representative Hansen.
Very, very brief comment. Obviously, this is a very, very important function that they do. It gives us a great deal of credibility with the public in terms of how our judiciary works. One thing in this, and I'll support all of this, but as we cut budgets and then modify the performance thing to meet the budget, our long-term picture that we're recording, you know, it makes everything look like, yeah, we're very successfully completing the mission, when actually we are requiring less to be done. And so it doesn't reflect that we've removed resources and we've lowered expectations. And I'm sure we can argue both ways. On the other hand, the performance measure should be realistic, but it bothers me a little bit that we are expecting that we're not showing the public that we're actually decreasing the expectation.
Okay.
Nope.
My comments? All right.
Mr. Chair.
Entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, would you entertain two motions, or do you want to go separately?
Let's go separately.
Yeah. All right. Mr. Chair, I'd move that House Bill 5118 as amended to the full House Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation.
Well, I think that we've got, we ought to have the other motion first, shouldn't we?
Want to do the...
Well, let's see, if we're going to accept the recommendations, we ought to do that before we move the bill out. So would you make the second motion? Would you amend your motion to first accept the recommended changes?
To the performance measures?
Because it's all going to go.
Okay. Well, let me amend that motion then. I would move to accept LFO recommended changes to the commission's performance measures.
Representative Hanna has moved that we accept LFO's recommended changes to the performance measures. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? There are none. That's so moved or passed. Second measure or second motion?
Now, the second motion would be to move House Bill 5118 as amended to the full House Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Hanna has moved that we accept House Bill 5118 as amended and move it to the full House Special Committee on Budgeting with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there anyone opposed? If not, that motion carries. And we need a carrier. Representative Hanna will carry this to full House Committee. And with that, we will close the work session on House Bill 5118. Thank you, Gordon. And we will open up a work session on House Bill 5121, which relates to the Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision.
Mr. Chair, if you indulge me, if we could do the DAs first, because we have a conflict that is my fault with the Board of Parole. Their executive director is on the way, but they are having their board meeting today, and the executive director hopefully will be here in a few minutes, but the DA folks are here.
Okay, we will recess the work session on House Bill 5121 and pick up a work session on House Bill 5120, which is the district attorneys and their deputies. Touch it.
Thanks. Mr. Chair, you have a memo that was, there are extra copies I just passed out to you, but it was delivered to your office yesterday morning. It is what I generally work off of in terms of material memo, but I usually work off the spreadsheet. If you could pull that out, please. And I think everyone pretty much understands the role of what the district attorneys do. They are a rather unique bunch of folks, very talented, but they are locally elected, but they are state employees. So there are 36 state employees, 36 managers, and no workers. So I don't even want to try to calculate their span of control, at least at the state sense. Keep in mind, at the local level, there are a number of deputy DAs, which are generally county employees and other staff of the DA's office. The only state employees are the 36 elected district attorneys. I will have one change from the spreadsheet that is in front of you, which I will bring up when we get there. But if you work through this, package 081 there in the middle of page 1 is part of a reduction plan. It basically biennialized or rolls up the changes that are the result of ballot measure 30, which reduced funding for deputy DA supplements. That is part of the governor's budget already. The second one, package 101, is a restructuring and compensation plan. It is the major package. The cost in the governor's budget is $492,729. What it basically does is currently there are four tiers based on population for deputy or for district attorneys, excuse me. Largest counties, Multnomah, Washington, Clackamas, Lane, and Marion currently are in the top tier, and then there's a second tier of roughly 10 or 12 counties, a third tier of the remaining counties except for three counties that have part-time district attorneys, which are Gilliam, Sherman, and Wheeler. This package would then assume that Jackson, Deschutes, Lynn, and Douglas, the DAs in those counties, would move up to that top tier, the higher paid or highest paid group. The remaining counties in level two and level three would be collapsed into one level or one tier, paid at the level two amount, and then the three remaining part-time district attorneys in Gilliam, Sherman, and Wheeler counties would remain where they are. So basically what you have here is in the movement of counties between those tiers, you have, I believe it's 20 DAs receiving increases as a result of this package, and the remainder staying the same as they are now. The amendment or the change in number I have from what you have is a reduction in this package of $3,557, which the DAS analyst caught this last night, and I thank her for it. I forgot to take out the PERS adjustment out of that package. So that means this package at the end, at the bottom of page one there, would have a value of $489,172. That is the major policy package. On the top of page two is package 801. These are our standard recommended changes. For PERS, it's $50,000, just over $50,000 reduction. This is all PERS. The district attorneys do not use the Department of Justice for legal services. So that represents a total adjustment for PERS. Package 811 is part of the House co-chair budget. It reduces the amount of the DA supplements from approximately $700,000 in the governor's budget down to just a little bit over $300,000, representing a $400,000 reduction. And then package 812 at the bottom of page 2 is a final adjustment, again also in the co-chair budget, which is the 3% general fund reduction in SNS. That's being taken in every general fund agency, and the value of that reduction is $28,159. I need to mention here, just because of the nature of this agency, there is very little services and supply that is not state government service charges in this agency, because they rely on the local counties for, you know, their space and office supplies and those kinds of things. So this will basically take most of their what I'll call discretionary SNS. It's not the right term, but the rest of it is basically assessments on DAS, mostly for liability coverage. So they may, as an agency, decide to take a reduction to cover this amount from their DA supplement amount, the remaining amount for that. Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, then that is our recommendation in terms of the numbers. If you return to your memo, on top of page 2 of the memo, the amendments to the bill that we're suggesting there, that number, which is 9130 now, is $9,127,431.
Do that again, please.
$9,127,431 with the adjustment. The amendment, I've attached the amendment to the original joint, or the bill for the original joint ways and means to your packet also. And I just want to show you, because this has a further amendment there on section 3 of the bill, as noted on the memo. What happens in the distribution of the deputy DA supplement is there is so much paid per quarter for the first, I believe it is three deputy DAs, for those counties that have three or more, and then the remainder is split equitably on the number of deputy DAs in each county. So what has to happen now that the money for deputy DAs supplement is so much lower than it had been before, I need to, in the amendment, reduce the quarterly base payment for the first three deputy DAs from $1,375 per deputy to $300. So that's what happens in here. There's very little money left where the state is assisting the counties and the district attorneys in paying their deputies. So that is that Section 3, Second Amendment on the memo.
Mr. Chair.
President Hanna.
Mr. Wilson, is the $300 the division of what was left over of the, what, $200,000 that we're still paying a supplement? Is that
about $301,874?
Yes. Is that what that is?
Right.
Thank
and
you.
It works out to be roughly $300 per county, plus a little bit extra, which will be distributed. I probably need to do a plug for the Department of Justice here. They do a service for the state by providing sort of the budget and accounting and other assistance to this aid, to the 36 DAs, and provide sort of the administrative support at the state level. So it's up to DOJ to do that split as outlined in the bill. In terms of the performance measures, on page 2 of the memo, this agency has not in the past had performance measures. The co-chairs felt it was important that they develop them. The DAs have spent some time and are now currently working with the Progress Board in putting together performance measures. They are looking at measures related to child support collections, victim services, and timely responsiveness to cases. They are also exploring with other public safety agencies or criminal justice system participants in looking at least one or two overall performance measures to the system. What we are recommending to you today is to insert a budget note, and I think this will be seen in some other budgets where there is more development work on performance measures to be done, that we're asking them to put them together, work with staff from BAM, ourselves, and the Progress Board in putting together performance measures and reporting back to the audit committee during the interim prior to when they're putting their budget together. So the budget note calls for them to report back to the audit committee prior to August 1st, 2006.
Okay, are there,
Mr. Chair,
questions? Representative Wisnett.
I move that we accept LFO's recommended changes to the governor's recommended budget, the recommended changes to performance measure.
Okay. Representative Wisnett has moved that we accept the budget changes
and the performance measures.
And the performance measures. Discussion.
Yeah, Mr. Chair. And excuse my ignorance in this line and my second budget committee meeting on this sub, but I'm very deeply concerned that we're taking cuts to this agency that actually is our frontline worker to address this horrible meth problem we have in the state. Not just alone, just the meth problem, but it's taking over so much, which has been the, you know, what they usually do. There's been additional that I don't have the numbers or anything at hand, but we have a huge package coming out soon with all these meth bills that will address this, and trying to set some sort of policy and help them do their job to get a handle on it and keep our public safe. And I'm concerned. My DA from Clatsop is here, Josh Marquis, and if you had any questions, he'd probably better answer them than I am. But I look at the salaries, the discrepancy for the DAs from Multnomah, $91,267.5 in Clatsop. And I think of the amount of work that are piled on to them. As attorneys, they could probably be making 2, 3, 4 times that, just being the indigent defense people. And I'm just concerned about us giving them more cuts for their deputy DAs, which have basically do that. I sat on jury duty actually during my campaign time, so it was kind of an I did it, and I took two or three days off just, you know, to do this. But I was astonished to see the level of what we did as a jury. It took all day on a case, and I mean, 2 days later, the woman we convicted was back out, not even out. She hadn't even gone in because there wasn't room. And it's just this revolving door, and she was seeing the same people doing the same thing, still doing drugs. And I hear kids at the high school talk about how prevalent it is anymore, and it's getting worse. And I'm just worried that we're just piling all this stuff on them, and then at this level, we're lowering their level of pay. And how can they keep these people and get this stuff done if we're going to keep chopping their feet off?
Mr. Wilson, do you have any comments?
Can I answer part of that at least? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Clatsop County, for an example, will be one of those affected by the change of the from four to three levels of the district attorney.
Yeah, I haven't seen this.
Okay,
yet,
so, yeah, okay. So that's what we're talking about in here with the change of the levels from four to three. Clatsop would go out of the level three of the 67.5. They're actually getting an increase to 76.428. So that's part of the compression of the three of the four categories into three. Mm-hmm. So they're actually moving up the step a considerable amount.
Okay.
So on that piece, that helps. Yeah. That's how that compression works. All the level three folks moving up to the level two.
Okay.
Those at a level two going to level one.
And I guess the second part of my thing is, and this is my county, in our county, and counties have different dynamics, but how much support the district attorney's office gets at the county level is all over the map, too. And I don't know what we can do about that, but, you know, it concerns me.
Mr. Wilson.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, members, subcommittee, some background information, and it doesn't address your concerns, which are significant concerns, but generally the state provides of the total amount spent on district attorney offices across the state. The state really only puts in roughly 10%, and it's a rough number, mm-hmm. of the total amount. County is by far the greatest contributors. The state role is basically to pay for the 36 salaries of the district attorneys, mm-hmm. and that has decreased in past years. Probably start back in 2001-03, for example, I believe that the DA supplement, the deputy supplement, was somewhere over $2 million, right around $2 million. Mm-hmm. So that has shrank considerably.
Yeah,
the state used to pay for a portion of the witness fees. That went away during the crisis of 2001-03, during that biennium. And finally, just as another note on district attorney salaries, and I think I've shared this with some of you that were on the joint public safety subcommittee, was that many of the counties, at least based on a survey in 2004, about 25 of the 36 counties provided some additional compensation or benefits to their district attorneys, ranging from, you know, zero in some counties, and I believe up to like $36,000 in additional salaries. So you're right, each county is different. The support per county varies significantly also.
Representative Henson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm really torn on this budget. It's probably the first one that came up that I've got. We've got a real balancing act to do. The improvement in the DA salaries, the reducing the number of tiers, is real good. I'm very pleased to see that in the budget. On the other hand, and as Representative Boone has pointed out there, and Mr. Wilson, we're still talking about probably 10% of the overall DA budget. So there's a great deal of adjustments that can be made. Some of the counties can accept the increase that goes to their DA, but decrease their supplement that they're paying the DA to rebudget for the loss of deputy dollars. What concerns me, though, and I think the reason I'm going to end up on this voting no, is if we look at total funds from the previous budget to this budget, we're decreasing the amount of dollars that the state is passing through to counties to provide DA services. And it's going to vary from county to county, and it can be moved around in a lot of different ways, and it's going to have much different impacts from county to county. Bottom line is, at a time when the state budget has increased, not a lot, but significantly from the previous biennium, we're still cutting the amount of support that we're giving to counties. And at a time when we do have a math crisis, at a time of, I haven't heard from our local partners, our counties, which are partners, I haven't heard that they're so flush that they can make up the difference. On the other hand, you know, this, we're making a good improvement in the tiers, but I think I'm hearing vote no to be on the record that we are indeed cutting support for district attorney functions to the counties. That money has to be made up somewhere, and I don't think our local partners are in a position to continue to do that. And hope that when this gets to the final resolution between the House and the Senate, that we can still make some improvements.
Mr. Chair.
Is this further discussion?
Yes, sir.
Representative Wisnett.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to remind the committee members that the House budget in support of the district attorneys is $800,000 more than the Senate budget and $1.2 million more than the governor's budget for the district attorneys.
Well, I found that also interesting that there seems to be somewhat of a disconnect between those that say we must give more to schools without understanding that that would mean less to the DAs and other programs. It's really hard to get more here and more there when we have a limited amount of money. Having said that, we can move forward. I would like to mention on the performance measure part of your motion that the performance measure that's proposed says the district attorneys are instructed to continue to work with the staff of the Progress Board, Legislative Fiscal Office, and others in developing their performance measures. I would suggest, and I'd like to have it be considered that included with and others would be the judges in the various counties, since they are participating with the DAs on a daily basis. They would be a good source of information as to recommendations they might make as far as performance measures for the DAs as well. I think that'd be a good source to take a look at. And so, but that doesn't need to be spelled out specifically. We don't need to change the wording on this. It's just enough to make the request. I think that they could give us some good information. Representative Hannah.
Mr. Chair, and this is, again, just discussion points, but as you look at that compression level, for the district attorney offices that will go from the level 2 to level 1 will receive an increase of $14,244, and 16 of the county DAs that will move from the level 3 into the new level 2, it's $8,928. So we're moving 20 counties substantially in the right direction.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair. I'll accept your friendly motion to the my motion to add that into the judges to the performance measure.
Oh, well. Okay. All right. So the motion is amended to add that clause, and that's fine. Then would you restate your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The motion was, I believe, that this committee accepts the LFO's recommended changes to the governor's budget. And we accepted the performance measure comments by the LFO is now amended.
Representative Wisnett has moved that on House Bill 5120 that we accept the recommended changes to the governor's budget and the proposed budget note relating to performance measures as amended. We can have a roll call, please, on this one.
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative Hannah?
Aye.
Representative Hanson?
No.
Representative Woodman?
Aye.
Chair Richardson?
Aye. So this motion to move out of this subcommittee House Bill 5120 as amended is approved, and would ask Representative Wisnett if you would carry it to the full committee.
Right. Do we have to go? We have to do the next amendment, don't we?
Is there anything further?
I have to do that.
I think the amendment that you just passed was to accept.
Oh, just accept
the
it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, Mr. Chair, now I would move that we approve as amended HB 5120, and we recommend it with a due pass recommendation to the full House Special Budget Committee.
President Wisnett moves that we accept House Bill 5120 as amended to the full House Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation. Would the clerk call the roll?
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative Hannah?
Aye.
Representative Hanson?
No.
Representative Wisnett?
Aye.
Chair Richardson?
Aye. So that motion carries, and we will have Representative Wisnett be the carrier to the full committee. With that, we will close the work session on House Bill 5120. And are we going to continue? All right, so we will now reconvene the work session on House Bill 5121 pertaining to the budget for the parole and prison provision.
Mr. Chair, again, I've just passed out a memo for you on this one. There are no changes to the memo or to the as in the former one. First of all, I'd like to Mr. Washington, who's the chair of the parole board, did step out of the parole board meeting and attended, and their executive director, Aaron East, just walked in, so they are here if there are any questions. And again, I apologize to them that there was a mix-up in that is my fault in the scheduling. You have the memo in front of you again. This is a budget that did pass out of the joint subcommittee, so three of you have seen this. And there is one change to this between the version that passed out of the joint subcommittee and what is in front of you. If you go to the spreadsheet, there are just three items here. The package 801 in the middle there on page one of the spreadsheet, that is a couple pages into the memo, is the standard package 801, which is our recommended adjustments for PERS and the EAG rate change. That totals a reduction of $57,206. The package 802 is another adjustment. Again, it is what you saw, what three of you saw in the subcommittee. It is a change that was not part of the governor's budget. They brought it forward as something they felt necessarily to execute the budget. It basically does two things. The first is to provide sufficient funding for the board members between the period of time where we have something in the budget development called the PICS freeze, is where they freeze salaries for budget developments. And when this budget was put together, there were new board members, and because of the way the budget process is structured, the salary at where the board member was hired, in fact, maybe two board members, did not match what was in the budget. And the second item or second reason for this change is that there is currently a limited duration position in the current 0305 biennium, and that for workload reasons they need to carry forward or continue that reduction or that FTE. It's 0.25 FTE, taking someone from three-quarter time to full time. Both these items are financed by transferring services and supply dollars, $65,000 worth, to personal services, so it is budget neutral for the agency. That is package 802. We're recommending approval for that. And then on the top of the next page, package 811, that is the what you'll see in each of the House budgets for general fund agencies, a reduction in this case of $37,981 for a 3% cut and general fund services and supply.
Mr. Wilson, a good question. If they've got $65,000 that they can move from services and supplies to personal services without interfering with their functioning, then why is it in there to begin with?
Mr. Chair, they will have to tighten their belts significantly to make that happen. They will probably end up using the Attorney General less than they probably would have before, and we'll see if they can make it through the biennium. It was our decision or our assessment that at this time they shouldn't get any further appropriation or general fund for that amount. There is a compounding factor that I do need to mention, though. To go back to the memo, at the bottom of the first page of the memo, there is one outstanding issue for the board that deals with a recent court decision, and this happened, in, I believe, in the last couple months, where the Supreme Court made the finding that the board would, it regarded the ability of the board to designate predatory sex offenders. So the result of this, unless there is a legislative fix, which they are pursuing, would be an additional $146,000 increase. Estimated increase in their budget, which would be for psychological examinations that they currently don't do. I think in terms of to designate those individuals as sexual predatory sex offenders, they would have to do the psychological evaluation. Our feeling is do not put money into that budget, the budget for that at this time. It's either if they can fix it by legislatively with a statute change, go ahead and do that by the end of session, or have them return to the E-Board because this would be something of an emergency nature. I will again say that their SNS is very tight and made even tighter with the 3% reduction in fact of J11. In terms of the performance measures, in your packet, you have the list of performance measures at the back of the packet I handed out or that was delivered to your office. There are two changes. And at the joint subcommittee meeting, the agency were fine with these. In performance measure number one, these were reductions in the targets in 06 and 07. Make sure I get the right ones here from my notes. The current, they are in 2003, they were at 8.75. The original targets were 10%, and we are recommending to reduce that to 8% in each of the years. They are close or below that already, so it should be achievable. This is a relatively small sample of individuals, so it will probably vary from year to year. And then the second change is in number five. This is a reduction from what the target had been, is 22.5. We're recommending it be reduced to 19%, which was the amount it was in 2003. And those, other than that, the wording is fine. The subcommittee, the joint subcommittee reviewed these and felt they were also fine.
Okay, first, we have some discussion on the information that's presented. Representative, wasn't it?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's not so much about this information that's presented, but for my clarification, and Mr. Wilson. So we, you know, in the joint committee, we passed this out, but we're going back and relooking at it and repassing it based upon our co-chair's budget. Is that the deal? Because tomorrow we're going to do military also, which has already been passed out of the. The joint.
There is no more joint. And so we now are doing things through the House and the Senate. We'll do this out. Senate.
Mr. Chair, the only difference, that Representative Wisner, the only difference between what you passed out a few weeks ago and this is that 3% reduction in services and supply, which is assumed in the co-chair budget on the House side.
But, Mr. Chair, follow up. Because some things we, you know, like 5119 is going to go to the full House budget.
And Mr. Chair and Representative Wisner, that did not have any general fund, so it wasn't subject to that 3% reduction.
Okay, so, and that's basically why we'll be, Mr. Chair, is that okay? Hold up.
Follow up, please.
So it's, that's why we'll be looking at the military to take the 3% out?
That is my understanding.
Thank
also.
You. Okay.
Thank you for that clarification.
Are there other questions on the presentation thus far? We can take.
Let's see. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 5121 as amended to the full House Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation. And I, or would you want the performance measures first? Because there's no suggested change.
Mr. Chair, I think what had been done before is the first make a motion on the LFO recommendations for the changes as well as performance measure, and then make that final subcommittee action recommendation. Is generally what has been done.
Mr. Chair, I would move adoption of the LFO recommendation as amended to 5121.
Okay, Representative Hansen has moved that we adopt the LFO recommendations as amendments to House Bill 5121. Is there discussion? None. Is there objection? Seeing none, those amendments carry.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 5121 as amended to the full House Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Hansen moves House Bill 5121 as amended to the full House Special Budget Committee with due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? There's not. Is there any objection? If not, then that motion carries. And Representative Hansen, would you carry this?
I'd be pleased to.
And we need a motion on the performance measure.
I move, Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the performance measures as listed in the draft table with the changes included in the draft changes.
Representative Hansen moves that the proposed changes in performance measures be adopted. Is there discussion on the performance measures? Is there objection? Hearing none, so carried. All right. With that, we will end the work session on House Bill 5121. Are there any other matters that need to come before a subcommittee at this time? Seeing none, without objection, we will adjourn.
Do we have the military budget? Yeah, we've already got that. We've got that review.